come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation from the Heart to Heart Bible study titled God Judges Rightly, a study through 1 Samuel chapters 16 through 31. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
This text that we have in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, Lord Jesus, as we just go into this study right now, Father, I pray that you would take control of every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, that you would speak what you have to be spoken today. Father, I pray for your direction. I pray, Father, that we would have ears to hear the things that you have to say to us today. Lord, please bless these ladies as they've come here, Lord, to learn more about you. And we are thankful, Lord, for a place that we can come to and be blessed by your hand. Thank you, Lord, and help us to be very aware of your presence with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so in chapter 17, it tells us all about Goliath and David, but there is so much more in there. So I just want to give you some idea. When you start with chapter 17, it begins to tell us all about Goliath. It tells us about how tall he was and how much everything weighed and all that. We're not going to put a whole lot of time into that because that's not what the story's about. The story's not about Goliath. The story's about Jesus. Really, it's about Jesus. And so we're going to get into it. But I did want to be able to show you, this is Robert Wadlow. He was the tallest man who ever lived. I guess they didn't take into account Goliath, but he was 8 feet 11.1 inches tall, and please look him up on your own. It's Robert Wadlow, W-A-D-L-O-W. Probably most of you have already looked him up. That's his father standing next to him. His father was 5'11". So that's him standing next to his father. It's said that he was very strong and that he weighed 490 pounds. So, and it doesn't look like it, does it? And there's, with his father, again, at a later age, they say that if he hadn't died at the age of 22, that he would have continued growing. And so just an amazing thing about him. He died at 22, and they, so what brought this man down? What brought him down at the age of 22? His brace on his leg caused a blister. And that blister got infected, and the infection killed him. It reminds us that those little blisters in our life, you ever have a little blister in your life? Just a little thing. It's just a little sin. It's a little thing. But if you don't deal with it, it will infect you. And we need to deal with those and put the antibiotic, put on whatever we need to put on, go to God and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, get it taken care of early. We don't have to worry about that. So that's just a reminder from Robert Wadlow. So why do we have this story in the Bible? It's here because the scriptures talk about Jesus. All of the scriptures talk about Jesus and what he came to do. It's important for us to remember that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. It is always a shadow. It's going to tell us something that's going to take place in the New Testament. So this whole story is really about Jesus. You remember, as Jesus was walking, after he rose from the dead, he was walking with his disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize him, and that was in Luke 24. 32. He was walking with his disciples. They didn't recognize who he was. When they realized who he was, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened up the scripture to us? concerning himself. So all of those Old Testament scriptures are all about Jesus. That's why we study them. That's why we have the Old Testament and the New Testament together. That's why we study Old Testament one session and New Testament the other session, because it all is one. This is one story about who Jesus Christ is and what he came to do. So this whole book coming together is that. And so let's keep our eyes open through the study to see that very thing. So we're going to not go through the first eight verses as we move through here, because that's all telling about who Goliath was and all of that. And so starting on verse 8, then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel, and we're talking about Goliath here, and he said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Here's the first problem. He's calling them the servants of Saul. Later, David will say that they are the armies of the living God. He had it wrong. Goliath had it all wrong. They were not just servants of Saul. They were the armies of God, of the living God. He said for them to choose a man from themselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then you'll be able to... Then we will be your servants, but if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants. So he has the promise in here. This is the promise I promise to you. If you kill me, we'll serve you. If I kill you, you serve me. So that's the promise that he gives to us. And then just going down to verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were two things. They were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Dismayed and greatly afraid. When there is a threat made against us, do you become dismayed and greatly afraid? That's what the children of Israel did. Now in verse 12, now David was the son, it tells us he was the son of Jesse, that he was the youngest of the eight sons. The three older brothers in verse 13, sons of Jesse, were there fighting the fight. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. Why was David not out there fighting? Why was he not on the front lines? Because you had to be at least 20 years old to join the army. And so he had to have been younger than that 20 years old to have joined that army. Verse 14, that's why David, verse 15, occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The reason that David was not with Saul was because Saul was out on the fighting lines, and so there was no need for him to be in Saul's home, in the palace, or whatever it was that he lived there. So in verse 15 and 16, we see that in verse 16, and the Philistines draw near and presented himself, Goliath drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and night. 40 is always a number of judgment. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 days it rained in the flood. So 40 days is the number of judgment. And then Jesse said to his son, I want you to take some things to your brothers. I want you to take bread, and I want you to take cheese, and I want you to bring back news of how they're doing. So David sent his father to those on the battlefield. He was sent by his father. David was sent by his father to the battlefield, and he brought with him sustenance. Bread was a big part of that sustenance. Do you see what is happening here? David is being positioned exactly where God wanted him to be. He was positioned exactly where God wanted him to be. What's the purpose for him going there? There's a huge purpose in him going there, and we're going to see how that unfolds as we go along. He's there for such a time as this. God is faithful to fulfill his promise. David is bringing food, and he's bringing in particularly bread to the brethren. Jesus was sent by his Father with the fact that he himself was the bread of life, John 6:48. He himself was the bread of life. Moving down to verses 19, and so David rose early in the morning. You like that, early in the morning? Everybody likes to get up early in the morning. He got up early in the morning to do what? I think he got up early in the morning to praise God first and then early in the morning to do what he needed to do. He left his sheep with a keeper. He left his sheep with a keeper. You see, we are never left alone. God leaves, Jesus said, I will send you a helper. I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is forever with us, and he is taking care of us. He took the things, and he went to Jesse. He took them in there. He went to the battle. He left his supplies in the hands of the supply keeper, verse 22. Verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, that is Goliath, the Philistine, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. He heard what Goliath was saying. He heard that I'll take you guys on, and I'm going to win, is what he heard. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely, verse 25, he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches, He will give him his daughter a bride, and he will give his father's house exemption from taxes or freedom in Israel. And then David spoke, verse 26, to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done? What is it that's going to be done for the man? I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. Can you go over that again with me? But he doesn't only say it that way. He says, to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of who? The living God. That he should defy. I just get a picture. Now, David is smaller than Saul. So I'm thinking 5 foot something, maybe as much as 6 feet, maybe. But here he is. You can just see him. He's this young man, young kid probably. And he just, who does he think he is? Can he do this? He can't do this. And all the grown-ups here are all afraid. But he, David, had two things. He had the invincibility of youth first, but he had the faith in God. He had faith in the living God. And so what will be done for the man who kills Goliath? He's going to receive a bride, he's going to receive riches, and he's going to receive freedom. He's going to receive treasure. When Jesus came, he came for his bride, us, to set us free and to let us know that we are his treasure. Ephesians 1:18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We are his inheritance. We are his treasure. That's what he came to show us. And so we move on then into verse 28, and the people answered them in this manner, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. Now his brother is pretty upset. His brother says in verse 28, what are you doing here anyway? You're just coming here to see what's going on. You want to be in the middle of everything. You're just in the way. By the way, being the youngest, you've always been in the way. Who knows what he always said? He just really laid into him. His countenance would change in just a little bit after what he's done here. But what does David say to him in verse 29? He says, what have I done now? You ever answer your siblings that way? Now what? Do you ever stand in your house and the enemy is coming at you with something? And you go, now what? It's the same sort of thing that David was doing. I'm not doing anything wrong here. I just want to know what's going to be done to the man that would do this to Goliath. And he's an uncircumcised Philistine. Why are we afraid of him? Well, because he's 9 feet tall would be the first thing that comes to my mind. I don't know. And so David explains that no man's heart shall fail them. So in verse, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. And so then he turned from him toward another, asked again. And then now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. So Saul's sent for David now. Now the eyes of his brother are on him. What's he doing with Saul? Now what's he doing? Verse 32, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant, or I, will go and fight with this Philistine. I'll go. David explains that no man's heart should fail them. He will take up the battle. David was, and Saul said to David, you are not able. You can't do this. You can't do this. You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. Look at yourself. Would you just look at yourself? You don't have what it takes. Has anybody ever said that to you? You don't have what it takes to stand up against the enemy. You're right, I don't. But I have the one who can. I'm not alone. You think I'm alone, but I'm not alone. But David said to Saul, your servant, and he goes into all these things, used to keep his father's sheep. He goes into the fact that he killed bears, he killed lions, he took care of the sheep. He did all of those things. He had learned by experience. David was strengthened by experience. He knew what he was doing because he'd been strengthened by experience. Jesus was strengthened by experience. Jesus was strengthened in his experience as well. He was tempted in the desert for 40 days. Again, that 40 days, that number of judgment. So he goes into, and so Jesus was strengthened those 40 days by his experience as well. He was tempted in the desert for 40 days. Jesus understands. He's been tempted by everything that you've been tempted by. He's been tempted by everything. Hebrews 4:15. He knows it all. He's been through it all. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. Well, he never did especially this. It might not have that name on it, but when you look at the sin or the temptation as a whole, you see, yes, he's been through everything. And he goes before us. He's been tempted in all things. He learned through his experience. In verse 37, David says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he is going to deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And so Saul said to David, go then, and the Lord be with you. And so David shows his faith. The Lord will deliver me. I know I'm not doing it alone. I know that the Lord will deliver me as he has in the past. And so Saul puts on all of the armor, all of the protection. And what does he say in verse 39? David puts on all of this stuff, and I just get a picture of him just like this. You know, okay, I can't walk. I got to get, this is not working. The helmet is, no, the helmet's a little big. I can't even pick up the shield. Oh, well, let's put that aside. So he put his armor aside. He put all of his armor aside. The armor was rightfully his, but he set it aside, choosing rather to use those things that he had tested, that he had learned from his experience. Jesus set aside what was rightfully his. He set aside his divine power. Jesus set aside his divine power when he came. And when he came, he just had it set aside. How was he able to do all he did when he was on the earth? How was he able to do those miracles? How was he able to do those things if he set aside his divine power? He did the same thing that he's asking us to do. To trust and to depend on the power of his Father. To depend and trust in the power of his Father. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. He took the form of a bondservant, made himself of no reputation. He came in the likeness of men. And so as we move on into verse 40, and he goes in and he gets these five smooth stones, and there's the story of perhaps he got five of them in case he had to fight the brothers. I don't know if that's true or not. I just think he just did the next thing that was set before him and the thing that God told him to do. So the Philistine came, and he began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he hated him. And for he was only a youth, he was ruddy, and he was good-looking. Why is that always brought up? Do they think that Goliath's going to be tempted by his good looks? I don't know. But it's always brought up in here. And so he looks at him and he hates him because, what are you guys doing sending this kid out here? So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And he cursed him in the name of his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. And I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And this is what I see in this next part. Here's David. He's ready. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You are defying the living God. This day, okay, he's a little bit taller than me probably, so you got to picture this. This day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. I'm going to strike you. I'm going to take your head off. And I think he's pointing at him, too. I really do think he's pointing at him. And this day, I'm going to give you, because he didn't care about what was pointing back at him. So he said, this day, I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So, bring it on. That's what I see David saying. And then all this assembly. Oh, let me add to that. All this assembly is going to know. All this assembly is going to know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Whatever battle you're going through, ladies, it belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. So it was, verse 48, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that I'm just a couple of things here. Don't let looks be deceptive, and just trust that God is going to do it. Okay, so it was when the Philistines arose, verse 48, and came and drew near to meet David, and David hurried and ran toward him. He's running toward him. I got this. Do you know why I stand for the living God? Look how slow you're moving. I'm running. I'm running toward the problem. I'm running toward the problem. Do you run toward your problem? What do we do? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got a problem here. What am I gonna, I got this. I'm sure I got this. Okay. David didn't even look at the size of the problem. He ran toward it in the power of the living God. And what if we faced our problems that same way? What if we ran toward them in the power of the living God and carried the same faith that David had, that the battle belongs to the Lord? We run toward the problem when we do what? When we fall on our knees. That's when we're running toward the problem. When we fall on our knees and we pray and we give it to God, we get his direction, and then he tells us exactly what to do. Can you imagine David's brothers' faces at this particular point? Can you imagine? Was it Eliab? Was that the one who said, what are you doing here? Can you imagine? He's thinking, that's the last thing I said to my brother. The last thing I said to my brother was mean and hateful. And he's going to die. He's got this look on his face. he's going to die. My brother's going to die out there. Well, we know the rest of the story, of course. Their faces, all of them, as they saw David running toward him, verse 49, then David put his hand in his bag, he took out a stone, he slung it, and struck the Philistines in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. And so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. Okay, what's the look on everybody's face now? Is he going to get up? Everybody's standing in their same place. Nobody's rushing toward this. Well, Dave, you want to give us an update? Is he getting up? Is he breathing? They're astonished in the same way that we're astonished when we see the miracles that God does in our lives. We respond that way. And yet we know that God can do it. We say to ourselves, I know God can do this. And then when he does it, we're just, oh, I'm so shocked. I'm so surprised. Well, David was strong in faith and he ran toward the fight. Jesus was strong in his faith. He said in Mark 9:31, I will rise again. You see how David and Jesus are together here? David is a type of, do you see how the Old Testament is that shadow of what was to come in Jesus? We have it all right here in this story. So then he moves down, he has no sword. So, therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine. He ran up to the Philistine. He's on the ground. He must have fallen backwards because, yeah, well, that's another story. But he fell backwards, and so here you have little David standing over big Goliath. He ran and he stood over him, and he took his sword, took Goliath's sword, and he took it out of the sheath, and he killed him. He cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that, their champion was dead. They started running. But here's the deal. Can you picture now David pulling out that sword? Do you remember how much the sword weighed when you were doing your homework in that first part? It said how much the sword weighed. How did this little David pull that sword out of there? I at first pictured him with it just, okay, I can do it. And he got, but no, I think he was walking in the power of the living God. Here's what happened. He's done. That's what God does when we go to him. Done. It's over. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. It's over. Done with it. Put it to death. Be done with it. He used the enemy's weapons against the enemy. How did he do it? He did it by the power of the living God. Jesus used the enemy's weapons against the enemy. Satan thought that when Jesus was on the cross that he had won. Little did he know that Jesus used that very weapon formed against him to redeem the people, to obtain his treasure, to obtain his bride, to obtain his riches. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper. So this whole story is about how David singularly secured the victory. He did it all by myself. All of my grandkids, when they were little, every one of them had said at one point, I'll do it myself. How many of us have said, I'll do it myself. I got this. And David did it in the power of the Lord. Yes, he did it by himself, but he did it in the power of the Lord. Goliath said, "Send a man down." But David, remember, was sanctified. He was set apart by the Spirit. Samuel came and anointed him, you remember? Set him aside, sanctified him. Jesus singularly secured the victory. He was the one who was sent down by who? His Father, sent down to the earth from heaven that we might have eternal life. Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus was sanctified. Jesus was set apart. Jesus was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was sent by his Father. The battle belongs to the Lord. An interesting thing here, as we just go down really quickly through this very last part. When they saw their champion was dead in 51, and then in 52, now the men of Israel and Judah arose, shouted, and pursued, got all of their nerve together now. And the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road. And then the children of Israel, 53, returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. He left Goliath's armor in his tent. Just left it there in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistines, he didn't know what was going on, even though he was the one that was sent, which I don't understand that little phrase there. You remember Saul was the one who put the armor on him and sent him, and now he says, "Who was that guy anyway?" And so Abner finds out who he is. He tells the king who he is, and then David returned from the slaughter, verse 57, of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Oh, fun. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you? Who am I going to set free?" Whose son are you? When the Pharisees came to Jesus, they said, "Who do you belong to? You don't even know what family you belong to. Whose son are you anyway? You're the son of the living God. God the Father." Right here we see in this portion of our text that everybody partook of the spoils of war. Even those who were home keeping the stuff. When we have retreats and stuff, we have ladies that are back down the mountain that are praying. They are the keeper of the stuff. They didn't go on the trip, but they get the same reward. When you have a part that's played in someone's life coming to Christ, it's a crown, it's a jewel in your crown. God blesses you for being a part of that. You get the spoils of that war. David got noticed because of his faith in the living God. That notice has now placed him right where he's supposed to be. Being noticed brought him right where he was supposed to be. He's going to be king, but not until 2 Samuel. So let's let ourselves be noticed by the faith we have in the living God. Let's be women of faith. Let's take this to heart and look at it as something more than a children's story, something more than, you know, your problems are not bigger than God, something more than all of that. Let us look at Jesus. Who is Jesus in this? And let us be blessed by it. And so, Father, we do want to be women of faith. We want to serve you, Lord. We want to bless you. We want to bring glory to your name. We want everybody to know that we serve a living God, not some dead God, not some statue, not some other thing, Lord, not some man-made thing, but that we worship a living God. And we thank you, Lord, that you have written in your word for us to learn and to know and to grow, Lord. And we thank you for your word, Lord. Fill us, Father, to overflowing with that joy unspeakable and full of your glory as we share this message with others. Lord, that you are mightier than all the things that come in our lives. Lord, that you call us to fall upon our knees, to run to the problem by falling on our knees. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to the place that you have us in right now. And there are some in here that are in a really difficult place right now. A really difficult place. Father, as you speak to them, as they have their time with you, Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, that those things that you're speaking, we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's your voice, and they wait. Don't make a move until you tell us to do it. Lord, help us to run to our problems by running to you and watch you do your work, Lord. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Please bless these ladies as they get in their small groups. Let your name be glorified amongst them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.